Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 25 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. Sean, how is life as a psychotherapist this week?
It's very good. I'd like to congratulate you because this is the one-time wonder. You've got it in first time.
I actually did it first take last week as well.
Oh, yeah?
2 weeks running.
Go for three next time.
Yeah, possibly. It could still all go wrong.
Okay.
How you doing? You okay?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I am good. Life is good.
Aside from your iPad falling off your knee every...
Yeah, something's gone wrong with my holder. It's not holding. It's not gripping where it should grip.
Yeah. Have you had a good week? What have you been up to?
Good. I'd like to raise a point.
Please do.
From a few sessions ago when we were looking at porn. And one of the things that I said was I'd never looked at any porn.
Oh, right. Has that changed?
And a couple of weeks ago it was, I had a spare hour. And I thought, I'll go have a trawl around the internet.
Yeah.
I suppose that the things that amazed me was how quickly you can get to some quite bizarre material.
Oh, right.
As well. The second thing that struck me was that if you look at different things, how kind of repetitive they are, it's kind of like a script.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, stick the camera here, stick the camera there, kind of stuff. And I was struck predominantly by the idea of why would you want to watch it rather than do it, I suppose, was the big one.
Yeah.
But the thing that really has really, really struck me is the aftermath, because having had a trawl around, I was only on it for like an hour and a half, something like that, having a nose, and I'm bombarded by the people that have picked up the tags on my website. Or whatever, because they come back through the contact form on the website, they say. So today's one at 4:23 this morning, this came in, and it says, gay mobile chat, cruising, gays, gay, Kama Sutra, bow wow, gays, legalise gay, and there's like a link to go to.
So these came in since you looked at all the porn, or
on a daily basis, this comes in, and it's kind of legs, Laura, you know, come and chat to me, honey, or it's like, I've a big and wonderful pills, make you 3 feet long, you know, increase your manhood, that kind of stuff.
It's a funny world we live in, isn't it?
And it's like, it's really weird, and you can't kind of get rid of them. It's like having a toffee paper stuck on your fingers.
Yeah. There's a movie out at the moment, or I think it's out in the US now. It might be out in the UK this week or next, called Don John. It's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it, cool actor. But he plays a young, mid-20s guy who loves a few things in life, his car, girls and porn. He loves porn. And I don't know the full synopsis. I probably should have researched it more before we started this, but I didn't realise you were going to talk about that. But he has an intimate moment with a lady, and she happens to notice that She felt like he wasn't making love to her. He was kind of using her as a masturbation tool.
Oh, right,
he'd watched that much porn that he didn't really know what to do or how to really be around a lady. Mm. I think the film kind of dives into that a little bit.
Mm.
I'll put the trailer up in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. But it certainly made me realise that if you did that kind of day in, day out, not only, it must end up like putting hubcaps on cars in a factory. I don't get that analogy.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Surely, will it become boring after a while?
No.
I think it's really odd. I don't understand why people would want to watch something when they can go and do it, if you see what I mean.
Well, yeah.
It's like being a participant rather than a voyeur.
Some of the stranger things you may have seen on your travels then aren't that easily accessible though, are they?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that is really weird on the internet is like everything goes, isn't it? It's like,
indeed.
Wow.
Okay, so you've been watching porn this week. Yeah, I've had a pretty cool week too. I was around at yours on Saturday, wasn't I?
Yep.
Lovely wife, Rhea, it was her birthday.
Yeah, lovely weekend, it's great. Yeah, family all
around. We arrived a bit too soon because the cake hadn't been...
You should have stayed.
It
was a wild day right into the night, really. So.
Yeah, we're busy people, though. We had places to be.
So many places to go.
We did, yeah. And I've been meditating this week. Listeners will be keen or happy to hear.
How many times?
Three.
For how long?
This week. I've been doing 5-minute meditations.
Right.
I've been using calm.com.
Right.
Just on the website, just when I whenever after I've done a bit of work or whatever.
Yeah.
Hop onto calm.com and do a quick guided meditation, which is cool.
Yeah.
So I'm getting into it. Actually, one of our listeners emailed me about something else, but at the end he said, "Have you started meditating yet? Just do it, Ed." Mark, you know who you are. Yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Really powerful tool. Once you get into it, it's like anything, once you build a habit.
Cool. We've had a review this week I'd just like to quickly mention before we start on the topic from Beastie Ninja. 5 stars. Great name. Found this podcast recently, enjoying the catching up. Some great insights delivered in relaxed and engaging style. Keep it up, guys. Thank you.
I love people's handles. I love their names. Beastie Ninjas. Really,
that's
good.
That's a good
really
one. Cool. Top that. But without further ado, let's move on to the topic of the week, which is dreams. And just quickly before we do, people can get the show notes from our website, because we're going to be talking about a few interesting things. Go to livingthepresent.co.uk and you'll find links to everything that we've mentioned. And you can dive deeper into our world. But Sean, dreams, why do we dream?
Well, guess number one is everybody dreams. People will say, "I don't dream." Yes, yeah. You do. Everybody dreams.
You do hear people say that, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, but everybody does. It's a natural function, natural part. The fact that you don't remember your dreams is quite relevant and something that maybe we need to look at as we go through this. Because it's a good place to be if you can remember your dreams, but not only remember them, but be able to do things with them. Actually use the dream part of your daily life as something that's useful to you.
I don't want to, I don't know if we're jumping in too quickly, but are dreams trying to tell us something, or are they
Let's go through it a bit at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you go to sleep, you go into deep sleep or non-rapid eye movement, which we assume is about body repair, repairing muscle, bone.
We spoke at length about sleep last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
If anyone's new to this show, episode 24 was all about sleep.
Yeah. You come up on a, you dip down on deep sleep, you come up on a dream sleep cycle known as rapid eye movement.
Yep.
And it's because your eyes are actually looking at the angles that you're looking at in the dream. So your eyes are going all over the place doing things. It varies on the person, but that cycle between going into deep sleep and coming to the top of the dream cycle is 1.5 to 2 hours, depending on the person. Mm-hmm. It will vary a bit, and also vary on things like health and whether what you've been eating, if you've been drinking caffeine, if you've been drinking alcohol, that kind of stuff. So it's going to vary to what's going on. Once you're in the dream cycle, you're starting to play out things in your mind, and the vision of your mind is like this stage inside your head. And there's going to be a variety of plays that you will play out. And I'm saying you, because it's really, really important to think about this. A dream isn't something that happens to you. It's not something that is popped out of the ether and kind of slotted in your head. Your brain is actually, in your mind, is actually consciously, or in the unconscious of sleep, creating the dream. We're picking the storyline.
Yep.
We're picking the characters that are in the storyline. So we're like a director of the movie.
That's cool. Yeah.
Whether we realise we're directing it or not, we actually pick people. So you might dream about somebody that you haven't seen for 20 years and they're playing a part in your dream because their characteristics fit the bits that you need in that dream. Yeah, so that the dreams start to tell stories. So, I mean, dreams for me, and different people would have different ideas, but for me working with people, dreams fall into 3 basic areas.
Mm-hmm.
There are the filing cabinet dreams, which are the ones about sorting out the stuff from the day, and that's the stuff we were talking about last time, about how do we encode memory, how do we encode things into the system, the habit, and it happens at night, it happens in the hippocampus. We're producing new neurons and dendrites that form the new circuits, that form the new habits.
Science, I like that.
And that happens in the night, and it gets encoded in the DNA, so we know all that.
Yep.
There are the kinds of dreams that are more emotional, which are the wish fulfillment dreams. You can do things you wouldn't normally be able to do. Maybe you could be a porn star in a dream.
Maybe I could. Maybe I am.
Or you can fly. You know, you can do all the things you wouldn't normally be able to do.
Sure.
You're a superhero, maybe.
I'm a Formula One driver.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
I've had that dream a few times.
You have to dream it first sometimes before you can do it, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so look, the wish fulfillment stuff's quite important. And the ones that are really relevant from my point of view certainly psychotherapeutically, are the dreams that I would see as the deeper symbolic dreams. And they're the ones usually people wake up from and they go, oh my God, what was that all about? Because it was the story was really weird, or really weird things were happening. And very often the language of the dream is a symbolic, subconscious language.
Mm-hmm.
And there are bits in the dream. If you ever read one of my books, which you should, which is the one about what's that in my attic, which is about what is the stuff that we leave in the back of our mind, as in repressed mm-hmm. information. When you start to look at how the unconscious mind expresses itself, there are things that are common that we know. So if someone dreams about snakes and snakes doing things, usually there's a sexual issue going on.
Okay.
Yeah. But if, when you look at people's dreams and they talk about they're in a house, they're in a building, the building is them. The house is who they are.
Oh, wow.
And it's how they see themselves. So that it could be that it's a mansion and it's established, or it could be like it's a weedy old dump or whatever.
You can get like dream dictionaries, can't you? And
yeah.
Big books that explain what each thing...
And the analytical school did lots of work with dreams, Freud interpretation of dreams, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there is a whole world. To me, it is the iceberg, that the bit that we see as the conscious mind is above the waterline, and all the stuff that's below the waterline, which is the vast majority of the mind-brain system, is the bit where dreams are happening.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also where creativity is happening, and things like the intuitive functions and stuff like that, that are outside of our everyday awareness.
Yeah.
And that crossover between intuition, prediction, dream, they all start to blend together as you start to get into this world, as people use dreams in lots of different ways. The bit that I think, the two bits that I think we should kind of look at predominantly here, although there are other areas we need to just be aware of, the two that I like most are what's known as dream incubation and lucid dreaming. Well, dream incubation is where you decide before you go to bed what it is you're going to dream about, in the sense of maybe you want to solve a problem, or maybe you decide that you want to go to a certain place or have a certain kind of dream, or you want the answer to a problem.
Have you... I bet the answer's no, and I'm going to get really angry about this. Have you ever seen a film called Inception?
Yes.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, really. Hey. And I think it's an amazing movie.
You've actually seen?
Yeah, because there you've got layers of dream
Whoa.
On dream on dream.
So what did you think of that, then?
Okay, Nan, yeah, I thought, yes, very good.
Just, we should just explain for anyone that hasn't, pause this podcast and go and watch it, because it's like the most incredible movie by Christopher Nolan. Did Dark Knight, all the new Batman movies, but he did it. I think he'd made that much money for the Dark Knight. The film studio just said, do whatever you want. No matter how much it costs, you can just go and have some fun. And he made this film called Inception. And I think he co-wrote it with his brother, actually. It's incredible, isn't it? It's about this team of people that are hired by high-powered businessmen to plant ideas in people's minds through dreaming.
Mm.
And they have all this setup where they send people to sleep in a certain way, and then they... Oh, man, it's insane, isn't it?
But if you look at the idea of a daydream, that when you flip into a daydream, and people would argue the toss on these bits, but it's like when you slip into a daydream, you've lost your sense of the environment that you're in, and you've gone into a space in your mind brain where you are visualising something.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that you're driving your car and you've gone into a daydream, and suddenly, well, you wake up and you scare yourself. It could be that you just sat there drinking a cup of coffee, but you drift off somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look, and I love this, when you've got kids watching TV, and the jaw goes slack and the mouth opens. That's it, yeah. And then they're staring at the screen, and you're saying, your tea's ready, and they're completely oblivious. Your tea's ready, and then you wave your hand by their eyes. They go, what?
Yeah.
Because they've actually been in that trance state, which has been induced by what they're watching on the television.
Yes.
And that's the magic for advertisers, because when you're in that situation, when you're in that receptive, dreamy, trance-like state, is when you can slip messages in that can then become encoded in the hippocampus, which means, you know, mummy, I really must have this toy for Christmas.
That's why I only let William watch BBC or CBeebies.
No adverts. Yeah, it's real.
Because, I mean, we only have Freeview, I haven't got satellite or anything, but there's Channel 5 has some good kid stuff on in the mornings, but every 10 minutes these adverts come on, and
they're
they're so subversive, man.
Yeah, yeah. And very often the adverts can be about the programme. Mm. They're just watching. So yeah. Maybe yeah.
It's fair enough, man. They're just people trying to sell stuff. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that's how advertising works. I mean, the whole idea of subliminal advertising where they had to ban it because every third frame on a movie and when you went to the cinema was a Coca-Cola bottle or something.
Yeah.
And then when it came to the intermission, everybody has to rush out and buy a Coke because it's been imprinted.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's that bit, isn't it, between the bit that we'd see as our conscious self and the bit which is under the water, deep down in the subconscious, which is so effective all the time.
Yeah.
But if you can plant a seed in that, if you can ask yourself a question, you know, how can I? You know, I need to, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And very often people see that in terms of a prayer or as though they're talking to some other being, you know, whether it's a guide or an angel or something. People very often talk in those terms. To me, what they're talking about is their self. Their deeper self, their higher self, whatever word you'd use for it.
Yeah.
But it's the bit that isn't easily accessible to us, which seems quite daft when you look at the design through evolution. Why would we have this bit that we can't get at?
Mm.
And there's so much information there. And when you use hypnosis and stuff like that, it starts to become available.
Do you... when you're helping people... I mean, I asked this about most of the topics. Do you start asking about their dream? What are they dreaming about? Or has that ever come up?
Yeah, what I'm interested in is what's their dream world like at the moment, which is going to tell me all kinds of things about their emotionality. Because if the dreams are highly technicolor, then they're highly emotional.
Yeah.
If I say to them, you're dreaming in colour, and people go, oh, I don't know, then they're not. Yeah, they're low-level dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But also things like in a dream, water describes emotion. And if someone is travelling across water, they're making an emotional change in their life. They're doing something different. But if that water is really rough and bouncing all over the place, and they're having a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can start to tell things. I used to run dream workshops years ago where people would bring along their dreams, and we would use a variety of techniques to get into the dream. There's a wonderful technique called alternate chair technique, where you put two chairs together and the person sits in one chair and asks the empty chair a question, and then goes and sits in the empty chair and answers the question. And they start moving from chair to chair, having this dialogue with themselves. And so one day in the dream workshop, there was a woman who the constant theme in her dreams, everything she would describe all the time, was a red-striped fabric. Sometimes it would be an awning, sometimes it would be a deck chair, it would be someone's dress, it was always... And using the alternate chair technique, she started to get a dialogue going with these red stripes and beginning to understand.
Wow.
Herself.
That's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Or one of the ones, I might have mentioned this before, where we had a dream where there was a guy who his dream was he's crawling down a brick tunnel and he gets to a barrier in it's where it's fallen and he can't get past it. And he wakes up where he's kind of pounding at the broken bricks and things and wakes up in a state.
Yeah.
So we actually set it up for him and we created a tunnel with everybody in the group, and the block in the middle was a bunch of poofies, and he's crawling along the tunnel and starting to live the dream. You have to kind of get into it a bit.
Yeah.
Good psychodrama tools, get people living the dream. And he gets to the barrier, he starts pounding the barrier, and suddenly he shouted out, which was his unconscious just unburdening. His wife, I'll call her Jenny, he suddenly shouts out, "Jenny, you cow, get out of my way!" And suddenly all this stuff comes out about how he felt that his wife was blocking him.
Mm.
In his path. And the bit that wasn't so good, she was on the course as well.
Ooh.
So it became live action, and there was a lot of work done. And they did actually end up splitting up, which was quite appropriate for them.
Okay.
His unconscious mind was being played out in this repetitive dream night after night.
Blimey.
Yeah.
I've got a pal, actually, who hasn't taken it to extremes, but he dreams vividly, and he also acts things out as well, as in he'll wake up in different parts of the house, or... His girlfriend that he lives with, I don't think he's ever actually physically harmed her, but he's probably come close a couple of times, and he's actually gone for a bit of help about all that stuff. Is that...
It's called somnambulism.
Mm-hmm.
A somnambulist is somebody who has to play out what's going on in their unconscious. Have you ever experienced sleep paralysis?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I've had quite a lot of dreams where I'm in the dream, I'm paralysed. And then I've kind of woken up, but I'm semi-awake, and I can't move, and I'm trying really hard to move, but...
Yeah, there's a mechanism. It's assumed that it's a safety mechanism, we don't know, that so that you don't play out what you're dreaming. And the body goes into a paralysed state. So maybe someone's attacking you and you want to punch them and you feel like you can't because you can't move. Yeah, and you're that close to being awake that you have that awareness of your body. And people are very still at that point in the dream, although their eyes may be going all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and people who are somnambulists don't have that control link. So if they're imagining that they are getting up and having a pee, they might actually get up, open the wardrobe and pee in the wardrobe.
Yeah.
They may get in the car and drive down the road. People have done all kinds of things in somnambulistic states. But those are the people that are used in hypnosis, hypnotist shows. Yeah. So what will happen is that the guy will do some kind of, or the woman, whoever's doing it, or do some kind of exercise with the whole audience. Usually they get them to stand up and link their hands together and pull really tight. And pull really, really tight. And they say all things like, your fingers are stuck with super glue and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then they say, okay, sit down. And the majority of people think, silly sod, and just sit down. And there's the people that are stuck. And they're somnambulists.
Wow.
And those are the people that you use in a hypno show because you know that if you start to implant things in that unconscious mind, they will play them out.
Yeah.
They inevitably will.
There are stories about people that have murdered people in their sleep, haven't they? And got off, legally off the hook because they weren't in control of themselves.
Yeah. I mean, we're into one of those parts of the mind where we know some things, but lots of things we don't know. I mean, how does a voodoo work? Like the idea that if I can convince you that I pinch one of your fingernails and I've put some kind of spell on it and that you're going to die. And those kinds of things can be real, that people do develop the symptoms of what they believe is going on.
Yeah.
On all kinds of levels.
There's a lot of unknown in all this.
Yeah.
Dream
world. And we're learning, but we don't know that much yet.
Mm. There's a TED Talk. Where is it? TEDx River City. I'll put the YouTube link up. It's by a chap called Robert Stickgold. The title is Sleep, Memory and Dreams, Fitting the Pieces Together. Appropriate to the things we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, but there are guys like that doing a lot of research into it.
Yeah. A guy I was at uni with when I was doing a master's, he was involved in running a sleep clinic at one of the university hospitals down in the south. And they were doing some amazing work around melatonin, particularly, and jet lag. But they did the thing about when someone goes to sleep, wake them up and get them to see what they're dreaming about, you know, so you write it all down. But one of the things that comes out of that kind of work is the realisation that if you deprive people of dreams over a fairly short period of time, I mean, say a week, you deprive someone of dreams, the three main functions that shoot up in terms of arousal are people need to eat loads of food. They'll eat loads of carbs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we know about carbs and the brain making you feel good, all that kind of stuff. And people will get angry and aggressive, but also their sexual drive goes way up.
Yeah.
You know, and they need to have more and more sex.
Okay.
And there must be connections that I don't understand between the expression of sexuality and that part of the brain, which is to do with the dream cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And the other bits that you and I both have spoken about and that we both can do, and I say this from the point of view of can do in the sense that you and I can consciously do it, but everybody's doing it but not realising it.
Yeah.
In this sense that we are using the stage of our mind to play out things that we need to resolve, so picking characters. I certainly do this quite frequently, is I will dream a sequence and I will and it's like I'm observing the fact that I'm dreaming the sequence. So I know that I'm dreaming and I've made that separation, the I and me, but I'm watching it happen. And I might think, no, I don't like that. And I will go back to the beginning of the sequence, like Cecil B. DeMille, you know, scene one, take two, and rerun the whole scene again, but change the storyline too, so it becomes what I want it to be.
Uh-huh.
And I might rerun that a few times. And you were speaking about doing that.
Yeah, well. In my uni days, like 10 years ago, I had a lot of time to sleep. A lot of time to just You know, between
time to dream.
Oh man, you do so much sleeping at uni. It's brilliant. Like in bed till midday, crazy.
That's like, why did you go to university? I went to university to have a good sleep.
But I would quite often have an afternoon nap when I was at uni, which, as we discussed last week, is actually
a siesta.
Siesta is a healthy thing. I need to make time for it now. But pretty much every day I remember now, I used to be able to have a good shot at trying to control my dreams in this kind of 45-minute, hour-long little nap I would have. Also, I would kind of wake up from them, and that's when I would be in the position where I was paralysed, and I'd have this few minutes where I couldn't move quite often, which is a bit freaky, actually.
Yeah, it can be scary.
Yeah, I was getting quite good at controlling my dreams then.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I had a good relationship with sleep back then.
When we were talking last week about if you're going to spend a third of your life asleep, it's a part of ourselves that we should respect and nurture and actually enjoy.
Yeah.
We talk about enjoying the day. We need to enjoy the night.
Yeah.
And from that point of view, certainly in Eastern psychology, they would say that the more awake we are during the day, the more aware we are of as people, then the more awake we are at night, in the sense of the more aware we are of our dreams, and then the more we're able to use that dream cycle productively.
We're going to come on to some tools to help people with that, but do you think it's a healthy thing to do then for people to, when they wake up, to spend some time just analysing what they've dreamt of in the night and trying to make it
make the most sense? Important thing is to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you said before we started this was how quickly you lose a dream.
Yeah.
Before you wake up, and then before you know it's gone.
It's funny, and sometimes you'll wake up and you'll think, oh, I must remember that. And then within an hour, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But at the same time, I've got like 3 or 4 images in my head of dreams from when I was really quite young that I've just got, I can flash back to at any moment. It's weird. Just little set pieces, not nightmares or anything, which we'll come on to, just little flashes of dreams that I can remember.
I have dreams that I had when I was a child that I'm still having now. They've changed in terms of some of the content and some of the things, but essentially it's the same dream that's progressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really important thing, and you realise it if you do start to write your dreams down, is that dreams are never standalone. A dream is never a one-off. Yeah, it may appear like that, you know, maybe it's the response to an experience. But that dream will be a part of a process, so that each time that you dream it, it's moving on bit at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's usually about that unconscious part of your mind is trying to unburden or process or resolve something.
Yeah.
And it takes time to do that. It's organic. Mm-hmm. It takes time to grow. But certainly when you're doing dream work, one of the problems with psychotherapy as it stands at the moment is that we're pushed into this world where we say someone needs 6 sessions, it's kind of in, out and gone. When I did my initial training in Western training, which was analytical, they approached it from the point of view of 60 sessions of therapy was described as brief therapy, you know, which it was virtually impossible for anybody to do that kind of thing these days. But in reality, if you're processing and working on your unconscious self and you're doing it consciously, whether you're doing it with a therapist or whether you're doing it yourself, like a self-help program, you can record your dreams and you can see yourself progressing as your dream world changes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a fascinating insight into what's going on. Because very often people will come along with the dream. I told you about the dream about the lady and the rape in the house.
No, I don't think so.
No, there's...
I'd remember that.
Yeah. No, this is a real dream. A lady comes into the house. She knows it's her house, but it's not a house that she's ever lived in. It's a very posh grand house, which is obviously the way that she saw herself.
Mm-hmm.
She comes in...
Obviously.
Obviously, yeah. She comes into the house. There's a staircase, which is a very fancy sweeping staircase that goes up, splits into two, and goes up to a big landing upstairs. So it's a huge, fancy staircase. But it's dark, it's at night, and she's very scared, and she's creeping around in this house because there's a man up in her bedroom who is tearing the bedroom apart. She can hear the drawers being pulled out and the things being wrecked. And she knows she's got to get out of the house, so she creeps through the house. When she gets to the bottom of the staircase, there's a white cat that's had its insides ripped open with a knife. There's blood everywhere.
Gee whiz.
And she runs out the house screaming. Yeah, wakes up. repetitive dream. What happens in the therapy is it starts to become obvious as you dig down into the unconscious that's going on. The woman was raped at the age of 14 when she was a virgin. And the symbology of the dream is the house is her, that the man is upstairs in her intimate parts creating havoc up in her bedroom. And the entry to her bedroom is this vaginal staircase. And at the bottom of the staircase is a classic white pussy that's been torn open, and there's blood everywhere.
Blimey!
And she
runs
out screaming. So, I mean, that kind of dream, you can think, well, yes, I can see that.
Yeah, that's pretty vivid.
Yeah, but most dreams are like that. Once you dig into the symbology of what's going on, and you begin to understand it, and there is common symbology that we have a shared in the collective unconscious of the human mind. We share that, but there's individual stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's understanding your own vocabulary of dreaming. And you only do that by recording.
Yeah.
Yeah, and getting to understand it. Yeah. Which I suppose kind of takes us on to nightmares.
Yeah, well, that's next on the list.
Yeah. So I mean, the whole nightmare issue is, for me, is it's that true understanding that the mind-brain system is completely neutral. The mind-brain system isn't about right, wrong, good, bad. It is just expressing what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's estimated that 3/4 of dreams, that kind of amount, are negative, and only 1/4 are positive. Yeah, roughly.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's because people are processing difficult material. Now, whether we call a difficult dream or a disturbing dream a nightmare, at what point does it make us jump out of the bed shaking and shivering? But what we're doing is we're playing out stuff. And the easiest way to deal with nightmares is to write them down and on a successive basis so that you're starting to understand what's going on. And if you can't grab it yourself, then you need to go and sit down with some kind of practitioner and actually work through the dream so you can start to understand the language of what's going on. If you're trying to release something, the therapy will help you release it quicker. If you're trying to understand something, then actually being able to work with your own dream vocabulary will enable you to understand it quicker.
Yeah.
So it's really important. And I can't stress enough the importance of the sleep cycle and the importance of living your sleep cycle, not thinking of something that you just do, yeah, but actually embracing it and enjoying it and nurturing it and working with it.
Yeah.
Yeah? Fabulous time. Third of your life.
Mm, I love a good sleep. Most people do, though, don't they? Or do they?
It depends. I know some people who, especially if they're in nightmare phases, are so terrified of going to sleep that they will stay awake, and in the end they have to go to sleep.
And Does it that accentuate the nightmare?
Yeah, but when you get into sleep deprivation, that's when you start to get like the increases of emotional activity, which could be sexual, could be anger, but they could also be anxiety.
Yeah.
Could be depression. Yeah, so there are a variety of things that are going to happen once we start to sleep deprive. But if you want to brainwash someone or you want to break them down to get information out of them, deprive them of dreams. And within a fairly short space of time, they become much more malleable to what you want.
Mm.
Yeah. Which is what they do in when we hear stories about religious cults. And, you know, people have been whisked off into these cults. And one of the bits about the indoctrination they go through is the sleep disturbance. Yeah.
Blimey.
Not good.
Our minds are pretty powerful, aren't they?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Okay. Prophecy.
Prophecy.
Yeah, the prophetic dreams. How many times do you talk to somebody? I guess I talk to lots of people, so it might be different for me. But people are saying, I knew that was going to happen before it happened. I dreamt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deja vu and all that stuff, yeah.
And that idea about, can we be predictive in our dreams?
Mm.
And can we see things that are going to happen? Which takes you into the weird world of the idea of clairvoyance or clear vision. You know, is that a real thing? Does that happen? We know on a personal basis that people will say things like, I was thinking about somebody and the phone rang and there they were.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that sense of I can plug into something which is bigger than myself. You know, it may be that I know that someone is in pain or there's a problem and I need to ring them. And they go, oh, wow, that's really weird that you should ring me now because.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and if you look at the Intention Experiment website, that's a good one, where you can see the work that's going on of understanding how people are connecting at this unconscious, empathic, intuitive level, which is very, very real. Years ago, when I was... we used to go and stay at my aunt's house, and they were all mediums and spiritualists and stuff. And there's this guy called Bob Markland, and I'm saying to him, how can you predict something? What about free will? How does that work? And his story was about a canoeist on a river. Mm-hmm. So the canoeist is on the river, and the canoeist from his angle can only see so far up the river, and the medium is up in a balloon, so they can see further. And as they look up the river takes a hairpin bend, 2,000-foot drop, spike rocks, so predicts that the guy's going to be dead in 10 minutes. You know, he's going to go around the bend, won't be able to stop, river's going too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, no way he's going to survive that. But what actually happens is the guy pulls over to the bank to have a pee and eat sandwiches, stretches his legs, sees the waterfall and thinks, bugger that, carries his canoe around the bottom and paddles off. And like the prediction business is a bit dodgy from that point of view because the free will aspect always comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have the evidence that is there, and because it's not verifiable or researchable, it's always suspect, but the idea that people can see what's going to happen next, and people do see it in their dreams, or is that prophetic dream?
Yeah.
Yeah, and people, the amount of times people will say to me, I knew that was going to happen.
Hey, if you believe it, go for it. That's what I say, you know. Mm. It can be a powerful thing, eh?
But the thing is that if we start to use that creative potential of the dream, then we can dream the things that we want.
Yeah, when I was at art college before university, I did a 6-month spell of fine art stuff, so really, really creative. Just whatever came to my head, I'd just lash it down on paper, or I was working on a computer as well then. But I would quite often have dreams, and I'd wake up and I'd have a sketch pad by my bed, and I'd scribble down something that I saw and then try and recreate it that next day as a, you know, a bit of art or something.
Yeah.
That was a cool little phase, actually.
But that's a direct relationship between the creative part of the dream mind and actually being able to produce it in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, creativity. I know musicians who have the same relationship, and they will have a recorder beside the bed, and they will wake up with something going on in their head, and they will go diddly-diddly-do into the recorder so they don't lose it.
I try and get a Seinfeld reference in every week, don't I? But there is another episode of that where he writes down, half asleep, he writes down a joke that he's kind of thought of while he's sleeping, just like Jerry does, and then the next day he can't make out the writing, and for the rest of the episode he's trying to figure out what it was, and he can't quite remember, so not a lion. And then at the end of the episode he kind of remembers, and it's not even that funny, but thinking of my own change with relationship with sleep over the last 10 years, back when I was at uni, college, and I'd sleep forever and wake up and write it all down, and now it's very much like kind of sleep, wake, work, you know. It's not really taking, I guess people don't invest the time and appreciation in it as that they should.
But if you invest consciousness in your sleep cycle, then you can get a lot more from it. You can get a lot more from it for yourself emotionally, mentally, and for your body. And from that point of view, making sure that you have a good sleeping environment. I mean, last time we were talking about what is it that you have in your bedroom.
Yep.
You know, but also that's down to what kind of mattress do you have? And do you wake up with a pain in the small of your back because your mattress is too soft?
Mm.
All that kind of stuff. So you can invest a lot in your sleep time. And if you think about your bed, I was years ago, there was Harrison's Beds, and they were doing research on how long should a mattress last, and the conclusion they came to was that a mattress they would produce would last for 10 years and then it needed to be replaced. And a side part of their research was they put pedometers on the bed to see how much people were moving around in the night, and they came up with a bizarre statistic underneath the research, which was the average sexual encounter involved 86 pelvic thrusts that they could record on the pedometer. It was wonderful. But the thing is, if you think that you spend a third of your life in bed, how much did your bed cost? You know, how much did you invest in the mattress? Whereas you don't spend a third of your life in your car, and yet people will spend thousands of pounds on a car.
Yeah.
You know, your bed is actually a really important place to be, and your bedroom is a really important place to be, and you should invest a lot of time and energy and maybe money in making it one of the best experiences that you have.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to spend 30 years in that bed, yeah?
So this week's resource of the week will be a mattress or something like that. Yeah, no, it makes sense. We got some self-help tips, Sean, just to wrap things up.
Well, I think that what I'd say is, and it's feedback time, so you need to come back to us and let us know how you get on with this. I think that you should try the two exercises. One is the dream incubation. And by that I mean, go to bed with a conscious thought in your mind about what you're going to dream about.
Yeah.
Actually decide. And it could be that you just want to dream about a thing or a place or a person. Or it could be that you want to resolve something or solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So be clear about it. And one of the ways of making sure that you're clear about something is to write it down.
Yeah.
Because if you can write it down into a sentence, you've actually formed it in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good way to do it.
Cool.
And see how you get on. And maybe you need to do that several nights running. But while you're in that process of dreaming, and if you do begin to focus on your dreams, you will become much more aware of them on a nightly basis. But once you've got a dream theme going, see whether you can be lucid, see whether you can decide to change the dream theme, whether you might introduce another person or change the line of the story.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Actually practice it. And the more you practice it, the better you can get with it and the more fun you can have when you're asleep.
Well, my resources relate to that. We'll come on to that in a second.
Yeah, no, go on, go for, because I think you should go for your resources.
Should we do resources of the week?
Yeah,
okay.
It's good. It's a good resource.
Yeah, we found this just before we came on, but it's an iPhone app called Dream On by Professor Richard Wiseman, British guy. I've seen him on TV, I'm sure.
Yeah, I knew the voice. When
he recognised his face.
Yeah,
this app, Dream On, it's an app to help influence your dreams.
Yeah.
So you plug it in. You have the phone on with the app running in the corner of your bed, kind of near to your head, I think. And it kind of monitors, like a lot of sleep apps do, monitors your sleep patterns. But then what it does is it kind of judges when you're in a deep sleep mode and kind of predicts that you will be dreaming.
Mm.
And then it starts playing a soundscape, some music.
Yep.
I don't know if it's like whale music or what, that kind of thing. Which hopefully then will feed into your dreams. And it says, the stats so far say that about 50% of people it's working for or having some effect on. And you should suggest trying it over a few nights, you know.
They give you a choice of soundscapes that you can create for that, so you can get one that works for you.
And then when you wake up, it prompts you to leave a little note, a little diary, like you were saying.
Yeah.
As to how what happened, what the effects were, what you dreamt about.
Yeah.
So that could be a really cool tool, or is.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try that. I'll report back next week. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, yeah, what's your resource?
Well, my resource is simply keep something by your bed that you can write on, preferably a good journal that you can write down in your own shorthand the dreams as they come.
Yeah.
And date them. Maybe you should date them and be clear about the day of the week, because you might find that you have certain dreams perhaps on a Sunday night before you go to work on a Monday.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that being able to be able to look back on your dream diary, and then you can start to see the flows and say, oh, I've had that dream before, or a similar dream. So you're looking at themes or looking at characters,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. And then you can start to see how your dream world is progressing.
Cool.
But just stick with that idea that if you're going to spend a third of your life asleep, you know, which is a long time, it's a big investment, then you can get a lot from it. Mm. Once you start working with it and you start to learn about your own sleep language and your own sleep pattern.
Interesting. Yeah, no doubt. Just a quick mention as well, @dreams on Twitter, kind of a ever-updating flow of people's dreams. I think they retweet people that mention them when they... So it's like a dream diary, but for people all around the world, which is quite interesting.
A voyeur's dream diary.
Yeah, in 140 characters, if you can get a dream down to that.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting too. Have a look at that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, good.
Well done.
Yeah, good.
All right, thank you one and all. Thanks, Sean. Next week, we're going to be talking about work, people's relationship work, and how, if necessary, people can or should move on from work, which is getting in the way. This is a suggestion by one of our listeners, actually.
Yeah.
Emailed us and just tagged on the end that they'd like to hear about that. So we're going to dive into that, Sean, if that's all right.
Yeah, I think that is vitally important. If you spend a third of your life asleep, then if your life's in balance, I guess a third of it is asleep, a third of it's working, a third of it is doing whatever else you do when you're not working.
Yeah.
you know, so they're getting that balance right.
Let's tackle that next 33%, eh?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, for all the links and everything that we've mentioned in today's show, visit the website, livingthepresent.co.uk. Lots more goodies there as well. If you put your name on the on our email list, we'll send you weekly alerts to this podcast, and you'll also get a load of freebies as well, meditation files, ebooks, all sorts of bits and bobs.
Party hats, yeah. Crackers.
Yeah. Sarcastic swine. I'm in flow here, Sean. But that's about it, really. Yeah, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. And if you could leave us a review on iTunes, that would be beautiful. We'll read out all of them, even good, bad or ugly. And just lastly, if you could share this show with a friend, copy and paste the link to our website into your Twitter feed or Facebook and tell the world how much you love us.
We'll love you too.
We'll love you too, yeah. That'd be amazing. And I think we're about done.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Should we go do some work?
Yeah.
Have a good week, Sean.
Yeah, and you. Take care.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.